Good morning. If you're a guest, welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. Guys, it has been a really good week of praying and fasting. And those of you that have been praying and fasting, maybe you came Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when we had prayer in this church. Man, I experienced something that was really refreshing. I experienced the power of God. I experienced joy. I experienced power. And the one thing that I was praying for and fasting for is a longing for God. I felt that I was drifting away. I felt the world was grabbing me. And my prayer this week is that God, please place in my heart a hunger and thirst for you. And I know if that's there, then I can be a good husband. I can be a good father. I can be a good pastor. I can be a good friend. I can be a good Christian. So I pray that you felt the same thing that I am feeling today. Felt rejuvenated. Felt excited about Christ. With that said, let's jump into the Word of God together. We're in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And next week, we'll focus on verses 10 through 20. When you've arrived to the text, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9, please stand. We stand out of reverence to God's holy word and listen to the word of God. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father and his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your traditions, you have made void God's word. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Let's pray together. Father, you see our hearts. We cannot pretend. We can fool our wives and husbands, our significant other, our family members. We can even fool other Christians, but we cannot fool you. You see everything. You know everything. So my prayer this morning is that we can be vulnerable before you, transparent, and say, God, take our hearts and change it for your glory. Give us a passion, a hunger, and thirst for you. So, Father, forgive me, forgive us. When we have sinned against you, a holy and righteous and good God, and give us hearts that pursues you. So teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not. And give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon is Hypocritical Worship. Hypocritical Worship. Have you ever heard of the phrase, "He refused to play the music"? He refused to play the music. Max Lucado, in his book, Just Like Jesus, tells of a story of a man who joined a Chinese orchestra. He went and he grabbed a flute and he pretended that he knew how to play the flute. So for 6 months, he was in this orchestra, faking, playing the flute. Then the emperor decided he wanted each and every one of the people in the orchestra to perform a solo. The man thought to himself, there's no way that I can learn to play a flute so fast. So when it was his turn to go before the emperor, he pretended that he was sick. He told the emperor he was sick. The emperor saw right through him and demanded that he come right before the emperor. Upon the emperor's request, the man poisoned himself and he killed himself. This is where the phrase comes from. He refused to play the music. Brothers and sisters, coming closer and don't miss this. We are a part of God's orchestra, if you are Christian this morning. And you are called to worship him. And maybe some of us, we are playing the part. We are looking the part. But our hearts are so far away from God. But listen, and don't miss this. The king knows, and the king sees. He knows your heart. He sees your heart. And you cannot hide before him. This is exactly what Matthew chapter 15 wants us to see. You notice in the text from verses 1 through 9, the religious leaders are coming before Jesus. Verse 9 is the key verse. Notice in verse 9, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. They were playing the part, the religious leaders. They were pretending to play the flute. They were pretending to worship God, but they were only worshiping God externally, but not from their hearts. Notice what Scripture states concerning worshiping our great God and Savior. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Notice that spirit is small s. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is our spirit, the spirit within us, that we must worship God with all our heart, mind, and soul. This is the whole person worshiping God. So come in closer and write this down. Here's a definition for hypocritical worship. Hypocritical worship is worship that is merely outward and not from the heart. I'll say it again. Hypocritical worship is worship that is merely outward and not from the heart. So this morning, I want us to evaluate our own hearts. Ask yourself, are you playing the part? Are you looking the part? Or is your heart seeking to make much of God? Have you given your heart to God? Are you worshiping him with all your heart, mind, and soul? Are you worshiping him through truth, through the word of God, through what is mentioned in the word? As you are thinking about this, I also want you to follow with me through this passage of scripture. Let the word of God penetrate your hearts and heal you at the same time. This morning, I want us to understand two dangers of hypocritical worship that is mentioned in this text. See very carefully, point number one. Hypocritical worship seeks to put traditions over people. Hypocritical worship seeks to put traditions over people. We see this in verses 1 through 2. Second, hypocritical worship seeks to put traditions over the word of God. Do you see the two pitfalls that we must avoid? And we see this in the life of the religious leaders. They put traditions over people. They put traditions over the word of God. Notice with me very carefully. Point number one. Hypocritical worship seeks to put traditions over people. Now, see your own Bibles, and we'll start in verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. You will need your Bible, so grab hold of your Bible as we expound on the word of God as we walk through this passage of scripture verse by verse. Then the Pharisees and scribes came down from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders?" The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus looking for fault. This is another problem with hypocritical worship. It seeks to find fault in people. So they came specifically not to learn from Jesus, not to see his power and his miracles. They came specifically to find fault in Jesus, and they found something. They found out that Jesus and his disciples, specifically his disciples, did not wash their hands before eating. Now, here's a misconception in our own context. You know, we read this text and we think of our parents. We can hear our parents' voice when we were younger echoing through our ears, right? Go wash your hand before you eat. Go, hurry up. Before I spank you, go wash your hands and come and eat. And we think that this is a problem of hygiene. So we turn to this text and we're like, wow, the disciples were dirty people. God is concerned about cleanliness. And the religious leaders got it right. This is not an issue of hygiene. This is an issue of worship. This is an issue of worship. The religious leaders were not concerned about hygiene. They were concerned about worship. And what they were saying here is they believe, according to the tradition of the elders, you had to wash your hands before you eat. And that's the only way that God will bless you. But there's a problem with this, because it's all about the tradition of the elders. And when we see this, we have to ask ourselves this question. What is the tradition of the elders? And come in closer and don't miss this. From the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, do you remember in Scripture, Old Testament, the cupbearer, Nehemiah, God called him to go and build the wall for Jerusalem. Ezra, the prophet, who went. There was a massive exodus that went to Jerusalem, God's people, finally in the Holy Land, right? And upon arrival, Ezra and some of the guys, they found the book of the law, God's word. And they opened the book of the law, and the text mentioned revival happened. God's people got really excited. They were repentant of their sins. They were worshiping God. Well, as time went on, the scribes decided to study the word even more. And really what they wanted to do was find application from the law that applies to the life of the people. And the scribes came up with a different set of laws, which is the tradition of the elders. So in AD 2000, this commentary on the law of God was compiled in a book called the Mishnah. It is the oral law. And the oral law, basically, they say, is passed on from generation to generation and generation. So in the Jewish life in Jesus' time, they had two main authority: the law of God and the tradition of the elders. And many of them, including the Pharisees, believe that the tradition of the elders trump the law of God. They basically said, it is better to obey the law, the tradition of the elders, than the law of God. Do you see the problem? There's a huge problem here. So what they were doing was they were putting tradition over people. So much so, in Jesus' time, the Mishnah was actually an oral law. So they had that going on. And many times when we see Jesus is refuting and debating the religious leaders, we think he is debating them because of the Old Testament. He needs to get rid of the Old Testament. Jesus doesn't like the Old Testament. Come in closer. That's not what's happening in Scripture. We know this because of Matthew chapter 5. He said, I came not to abolish the Old Testament, but to fulfill it. So every time we notice Jesus is going against the religious leaders, it is because of the oral law. It is because of the Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, they had 30 chapters concerning ceremonial cleansing, how you ought to wash your hands, the pots, how you ought to wash the pots before you eat. Even in the marketplace, when you walk in the marketplace, what you ought to say. Do you get it? Laws upon laws upon laws was placed upon the people. So much so that Jesus mentioned this. In Matthew chapter 23, see in your own Bibles, Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. When you've arrived, say word. Matthew 23, verse 4. They tied up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and laid them on people's shoulders. Who is this? This is the religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their fingers. Brothers and sisters, here is the application for us here. we too can be guilty of the same sin of placing tradition over people when we argue about the color of the carpet in the sanctuary, whether a church should have pews or chairs, whether a church should have a steeple or not. Do you get the picture? We can allow traditions to trump our love for people. Whatever tradition you have in your life, you have to ask yourself this. Is it verified in Scripture, or is this just my man-made commandment? Is this just nostalgia? I grew up with this, and therefore I want this. I grew up with a style of worship. I grew up with the way church is supposed to be. I grew up with all of these things, and therefore this is what we must have. Be very careful. Is this what Scripture is saying? We must be careful not to allow our traditions to come over people. That's a dangerous sin. But pay attention very carefully and notice the second point. Notice the second point. And in the second point, we will find great application. Notice the great Savior and he will respond. But see the second pitfall. Hypocritical worship seeks to put traditions over the Word of God. This is why it's easy for them to go over people, to disregard people. Why? It's because they're disregarding the Word of God. When we have a high view of the Word of God, we will love people. We will care for people. But see Jesus' response in your own Bible. Notice in verse 3 how the great Savior will respond. And he mentions this. And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Here is a great passage of Scripture, and see how this Savior responded. He did not respond with an excuse for his disciples. He didn't say to the religious leaders, well, they forgot to wash their hands. You're right. I'm sorry about that. Next time we'll do better. He didn't respond with a sense of discussion. Let's discuss this situation. He didn't say to the religious leaders, well, tell me what you think is important. He responded forcefully. And he made sure that they understood their position was wrong. It was evil. It was sinful. Notice what he said to them. You are wrong. You are building up the tradition of the elders, but at the same time, you are neglecting the Word of God. It's even stronger in verse 14. Notice in your own Bibles how Jesus described these men. He says, the blind, or leading the blind. When the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, do you know the disciples are offended? The Pharisees and religious leaders are offended by what you said to them? And he said, they're blind, leading the blind. And in verse 13, he described them as plants that God had not planted that would eventually be pulled up from the roots. In other words, Jesus said, you guys are breaking the law of God. In Mark's parallel account of this very passage of Scripture, notice what Mark said. Notice what Jesus said to them. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of man. Do you notice what they're doing? They're saying no to the Word and yes to tradition. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to establish your tradition. I want you to picture with me what the religious leaders are doing and what we ourselves are tempted to do as well. Imagine you're driving down the highway, a particular highway. And upon driving, there's the sign that said, danger or dangerous curves ahead. And you have a choice. First choice is to slow down and do exactly what the sign said. The second choice is to continue to drive at the rate that you were driving and disregard the sign. The third choice is to defy the warning that the sign says and drive even faster, accelerate even faster. Regardless of your choice, the truth still remains. There are curves ahead. And in the same way, God's word is the truth that remains. God's word is true. And you can choose to disobey it, but you will pay greatly for that. You could neglect the wisdom that is in God's word and find yourself dissatisfied, find yourself getting in all kinds of trouble, find yourself far from God. And this is exactly what the religious leaders were doing. There is a sign, danger, curves ahead, which is the word of God that says, live out what the word says. Follow the word, submit to the word. And what the religious leaders did was this: they ignored that great word and they built up their own traditions. Now, as we're thinking about the religious leaders, are you doing the same thing? Are you? And what a great way to start a new year, to say, God, I will saturate myself in your word. Your word will be center. I will live out this word by submitting to it. And listen, come here closer and don't miss this. You will find great joy. Great joy. And this is what the text wants us to see, right? It wants us to see this very thing. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But notice how Jesus diagnosed the religious leaders. And as we're thinking about the religious leaders, evaluate your own heart and see for yourself what he calls them. In verse 7, you hypocrites. Now, I want you to understand this. This word hypocrite basically means one who is playing the part, a pretender. In the Greek culture, it was one who was an actor who played multiple parts. He was pretending to be something. He wore many masks. And here Jesus calls them hypocrites, pretenders. People who played the part, people who believed they were worshiping God, but their hearts were far from God. Is that what Jesus is calling you? Is that what he's calling me? Hypocrite. But here, I love Jesus. When he diagnoses a problem, he gives reason for it. He gives evidence. And he does two things here. He gives us two elements concerning their hypocrisy. And the first thing is because they were self-centered. They were self-centered is what he wants us to see. They were self-centered. And he talks about the practice of their hypocrisy. That's the two elements. One is the practice of their hypocrisy. And the second thing he gives us is the prophecy concerning their hypocrisy. So first is the practice, right? And what were they doing? Jesus mentioned here in the text, see for yourself, very carefully, what he states. And in verse 3, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your traditions? For God command, honor your father and mother, and whosoever reviles father and mother will surely die. So here Jesus quotes the fifth commandment, which is to honor your father and mother. Don't miss this because scripture talks about this, right? This is a clear command. You cannot miss this. This is a clear command. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it states, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. If it wasn't clear, we have another command that explains this command. And notice what it mentioned in Exodus 21, verse 17. Whosoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. This is clear. And what we have in this text is the obligation
for us to take care of our parents, then when they have a need, and if we are capable of meeting that need, we must care for them. But notice the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. They turn to the word, and then they turn to their oral law, which is the traditions of the elders. And they came up with a word, which is Corban. Corban. This word is mentioned in Mark. Mark's parallel account of this very text. Mark gives us this name. And what is Corban? Corban was a word used to say, if my mom and dad ask for me to care for them, I don't have this obligation to care for them anymore as long as I say to them, Corban! Hey, Kevin, I want you to care for me, man. I can't pay my bills. I need you to help me. Corban! And by saying Corban, what they're saying is this, I don't have the obligation anymore to care for you. This gift, this money that you want me to give to you to help you pay your bills, to help you do whatever, it's now dedicated to the Lord, not to you. And what makes this even worse is that they would say it's dedicated to the Lord, but they'll turn around and take that very money and use it on themselves. You see exactly what was happening in the text? Do you see the practice of the religious leaders' hypocrisy? And Jesus attacks it. He says, the law commands that you care for people, but you're turning away from the word of God and you're turning to your traditions. It goes against the word of God. That's sinful. That is sinful. So what can we learn from this? Don't miss this, because we think to ourselves, well, Mishnah, ritual cleansing, Corban, these things don't translate in our culture anymore. What can we learn from this text? I don't want you to miss this. We can learn a lot. We can learn specifically that the word must be at the center of what we do and what we say, not only in the local church, but in our homes, in our workplace, wherever we go, the word must take precedence. And we learned two pitfalls from the religious leaders that led their practice to be against God. First, they were self-righteous. They were self-righteous. They, instead of trusting in the word of God, they trusted in their oral laws and their traditions. And they were self-righteous. And they were standing on their soapbox rather than standing on truth. Is that you this morning? Are you standing on truth? Second, they were self-centered. Self-centered. Instead of taking the money that God commanded the people of God to care for their parents, they took that money and bought stuff for themselves. They did whatever they wanted instead of caring for their parents. That's self-centered. Brothers and sisters, write this down. Write this down. When we love tradition more than having a genuine love for God, such attitude always leads to self-righteousness, which leads to false religion. Think about that. Think about that. I love what James Montgomery Boyce stated concerning this very verse. Pay close attention to this. Self-righteousness does not bring a person into heaven. Rather, it leads to judgment and death, since the only possible basis for our justification before God is Christ's righteousness, not ours. Not ours. So we see Jesus diagnose their problem, their hearts, as hypocrisy. Two elements of this hypocrisy is, one, we notice the practice of the hypocrisy, and two, notice with me the prophecy concerning their hypocrisy. See in your own Bibles as we close with this,
the prophecy concerning their hypocrisy. In verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men.'" This very text is from the book of Isaiah. And Jesus is quoting Isaiah. He's quoting an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah 29, verse 13 to be exact. And in that text, Jesus tells us what will happen. He tells us of the religious leaders in his time. And what we see is that they will be hypocrites. Do you follow the logic here? Follow the logic and see for yourself. Notice very carefully that when we have man-centered thoughts in the church, we will worship man-centeredly. We will worship man. But when we have God-centered thoughts, word-centered thoughts in the church, we will exalt God. We will make much of God. What are your thoughts? Are they formed by traditions or by the Word of God? If it's traditions, then this church, all churches, will be man-centered. If it's the Word of God, then this church, all churches, will be God-centered. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. I want to say this. As long as the truth of God is central in the church, the worship of God will be central in the church. Let me say it another way. A word-centered church leads to a God-exalting worship. A word-centered church leads to a God-exalting, God-glorifying worship. So, the question is, are we word-centered? Or are we man-centered? Come in closer. Are you playing the part? Are you looking the part? Are you standing with your hands lifted high, worshiping, but your heart is seated? Your heart is sitting? Are you standing up high, but your heart is sitting down, your heart, its back, is turned from the Lord? Is that you? Because we can have all these external, outward things as we worship God. If our hearts are not right, we are far from God. And this is exactly what Jesus mentioned. A word-centered church leads to a God-exalting church. God exalting worship. Let's pray. Father, we do not want to just play the part or look the part. We want our hearts to be in this. And we see of traditions that leads to self-centeredness, that leads to self-righteousness. And I pray that we can search our hearts deeply and turn to you, Father, to heal our hearts. God, we don't want to just play the music, refuse to play the music. We don't want to just play the part, God. Search our hearts. Lead us. Guide us. Give us the wisdom that we need through your word. I pray for this church that we will continue to be a word-centered church, God. Let us focus on the depth of the ministry, which is the word, which is people, and you will bring about the breadth of the ministry. So God, when we are done, we would love to hear the words, "Good and faithful servant. enter in. Instead of hypocrites, turn away. We love you. We worship you. We exalt you. God's people say, amen. Amen.